When preparing for this first observance of Respect Life Sunday, it occurred to me that it would be helpful if we would go back in history and try to capture the mind of our bishops in their leading us as regards to Respect Life issues. And in so doing, we go back some 40 years ago, in 1974, when young Bishop Joseph Bernadin was elected the third president of the newly formed United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. He was a bishop of a small diocese, but the bishops of the country obviously respected him greatly in electing him as their president. And it was during his term that the pro-life committee for the National Conference of Catholic Bishops was formed. And that committee has continued being in existence through those years, guiding our church in this regard. Fast forward 10 years further, and by that time, young Bishop Joseph Bernadin is now the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago. And he continues to be very well respected by his fellow bishops, and he was asked to serve as the chairman of the pro-life committee that he helped form 10 years earlier. And at that time, the bishops were working in the area of protection of life, the unborn, but also in the nuclear proliferation. And he noticed how there was a tendency to become polarized. He noticed conflicts among various Catholics as regards to different areas of respect for life. And he gave a presentation setting forth a direction, a tone for the future committees of pro-life committees for the bishops and for us as Catholics in our country. He spoke about the importance of having a consistent ethics of life. And in so speaking, he used the imagery of the seamless garment. And he was referring to the garment that Jesus wore when they stripped him, and then the soldiers were dividing his clothes, and this one garment that was seamless, they said, "Let's not tear it, let's cast lots for it." Those who are my age and older will remember that 60 years ago, there was a very popular movie entitled The Robe, which was about that seamless garment and the power that it had, especially the power to convert one of the soldiers who was responsible for crucifying Jesus. So he used this powerful image of the seamless garment in encouraging us to have a consistent ethics of life. And in so doing, he spoke about respect for life in the womb and the tomb. And I would add to that, everything in between. As we start the respect for life in the womb, the Supreme Court failed to address, they avoided the question of when does human life begin. And in so doing, they basically suggested practically that human life, or respect for human life, doesn't begin until birth. The Supreme Court was dead wrong. They have been proven to be wrong over the years that human life does not begin at birth. There is a consensus among scientists that we as a church have been right all along, that human being begin at conception. The decision of the Supreme Court has resulted in it being a foundation for the polarization that has taken place in our country. The decision of the Supreme Court has resulted in the death of between 55 and 58 million babies. Babies. An average of 2 every minute since then. Pope John Paul was right. We now live in a culture of death. In recent times, we've learned that some who perform abortions do so very carefully to be sure that they can sell these babies, their parts, for profit. And then, when we object, we are accused of a war on women. The war on women is abortion. More baby girls are killed than boys. Some choosing to have abortion because they don't want a girl. They want a boy. This is now common practice in China and will most likely become common practice in our country. Prejudice against women. Now, a few words about respect for life, not only in the womb, but until the tomb. Assisted suicide is now the law in 5 states in our country, voted for by the citizens. Supposedly to help people. Now, physicians who for centuries, whose life and pledge had been to do no harm, now are called upon to take the lives of babies and those who are suffering, and told that they're doing a noble thing. Not only assisted suicide, but the question of capital punishment comes into play as well. It is Pope John Paul II, whom so many people respected, who said that there are very, very few and rare and practically non-existent situations when capital punishment would be permissible. We've heard Pope Francis, probably the most respected human being living today, who said that it is his dream that someday there will be a worldwide abolition of capital punishment. But when Cardinal Bernadette was speaking about the consistency and respect for life, he was not only speaking about the womb and the tomb, but what goes in between. He was a prophet. He said the following: Catholic and social tradition is both a complex and a demanding tradition. It joins the humanity of the unborn infant and the humanity of the hungry. It calls for positive legal action to prevent the killing of the unborn or the aged, and positive social action to provide shelter for the homeless and education for the illiterate. Respect for human life, from the womb to the tomb, and everything in between. Who has modeled this better than anyone else? The most respected living person today, Pope Francis. When he wrote his encyclical on the environment, he made it very clear that you cannot be in favor of protecting the environment, but at the same time be in favor of killing the unborn and being insensitive toward the poor. When he came to our country, he stated very clearly to the United States Congress of the aspect of respect for life at every stage of his development. But notice how he spoke of respect for life by his gestures. He didn't eat with the powerful after speaking to the United States Congress. He ate with the homeless. He visited the imprisoned. He spoke very passionately about immigrants and said, "Don't look at the numbers, look at the faces." Even our Congress listened to him with evident respect. He modeled the consistent ethics of life, and he's respected for it. Cardinal Bernardin foresaw the dangers of us Catholics being divided in our efforts, in our dedication to respect life in the womb, in the tomb, and everywhere in between. He foresaw the polarization. He foresaw the one issue politics. Politically speaking, one group respects life in one area, but does it in another. Another group respects life in one area, but not another. And they're at odds with one another. And that spills over to us. So what happens is those of us who are very dedicated to protecting life in the womb, we sometimes turn on those who want to get rid of capital punishment. I can remember very well Bishop Flynn saying one time, the reason he was against it was there was always a chance of making a mistake. And it has happened, and it continues to happen. The ones who are poor do not have the money to hire people to defend them. And when Bishop Flynn made that statement, he got an unbelievable amount of hate mail from Catholics. And that was precisely what Cardinal Bernardin was pleading us to avoid happening. He called for unity. He called for unity where one group of Catholics may work toward respecting life in one area, another group may work in another area, but that it would not be at odds with one another. There would be a support of one another. Cardinal Bernardin said the following, "And we can strive not to stand against each other when the protection and the promotion of life is at stake." When was the last time do you remember this country being more united than when Pope Francis was in our midst? That is what Cardinal Bernardin dreamed would happen in the area of respect for life. Have you ever noticed how the political campaign goes on every day for every year And as soon as one election is over with, the next one starts. And always the question is, how does this candidate feel about this? How does that candidate feel about that? And that's not really the question for us as Catholics. The question for us is, what are our bishops leading us to? What are our bishops teaching us? And so, as our Respect Life Committee begins this work, in the years to come, I invite us, I encourage us to study what the Respect Life Committee gives to us, what they share with us. And may it help us to develop that consistent ethics of life. May it help us to be like those who respect the seamless garment of Jesus, whereby we Catholics will be united in promoting respect for human life from conception to natural death and everything else in between. Let us bow our heads.